I wanted to do something when we started meeting again, and it would have been nice if it would have coincided, but it didn't. So I'm going to need to ask you guys to do something. Go back in time in your minds, just a few weeks to when we started. Just pretend like, remember what that was? Remember that week? Like, I don't know, 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks, however long ago it's been. Go back in your mind and pretend that you're there. It's not been that long, so I think it'll be pretty easy, because what we're going to talk about kind of comes out of that. What I wanted to do is, as we were coming back together, since it's been so long, I wanted to take some time and kind of start over. I wanted to take advantage of the fact that we were starting over and just reorient ourselves in our Christian walk as Christians, in our relationship with God and the purpose that we have in the world. Just set our focus again. I wanted to take some time for us to, and I want to, and this is what the next few weeks are going to be about. I want to take some time to invite us to kind of grab each other's hands and just walk down a path together, to go down a path together and look at it's seven different steps on that path, seven different words that should mark us as people, I think, and that I think we forget about in the daily mill of life. And then in the weekly routine of we come together every week here, we know that that's what next Sunday is going to hold. And there was a long time where that wasn't the case. And then it was again. And so let's take a moment. And I know for us, it's a little delayed, but let's take a moment to kind of map out what the next phase of our lives as Christians should look like, our relationships with God individually and together as a body, so that we can have closeness to God, more closeness to God, and more eternal productivity in our lives. The first word I want to look at is, and this is today's word, so it's not going to be all of them in one day, don't worry, just one per week. Today's word is grateful. I want us to just rest on the word grateful for a minute, because, well, so my first thought when this first came into my mind, and it's going to make a lot more sense this evening when we're truly, it's the first time we're back together, so it'll really, really be in context. But just think about it. We hadn't been together for so long, and now we're able to be together. We're able to sing together. We're able to, I'm barely getting up the courage to kind of creep into the back, you know, like 6 feet behind the other people and sing. And we're able to hear each other's voices and together lift up how good God is together. And we're grateful. We know we should be, and we are in our hearts. We're grateful that we can do this. And for so many other things, that's the big idea for today, that we are extremely, profoundly grateful to God for who he is, for what he's done, for what he will do. But you know, there's something interesting that passes, that happens with, like, I don't know if it's interesting, curious, odd, that happens with gratefulness. We are always grateful. I think most of us would raise our hands and say, I'm a grateful person. Of course I'm grateful. I'm always grateful. We're grateful people with God, with other people, but we don't always express our gratefulness. I would say I'm a grateful person. And then if you said, well, how often do you express that? Not as often. We don't. It's more probable that instead of expressing greatness, we would express what? Complaints. I don't like the way things are, or our desires for things to be different. Would you do this instead of thank you for what it's, I need you to do something different. I need you to do something else for me. If you doubt that, just, okay, think about the last time you were on Facebook, hopefully not during the singing, maybe like a few minutes before that or whenever, depending on how addicted you are, the last time you were on Facebook, think about the things that you saw, the status updates, the way people express themselves. When we update our status, when we talk to our friends, think about our prayers. Mostly, yeah, of course we'll say thank you. Thank you, God, for everything. And then now let me get to some specifics of the stuff that I really want you to do. I want things to be different in the future. I want life to be different. We focus on why. Why do we focus on what we want to be different and what we're not happy with? It's because that's what we're conscious of. I'm conscious. I'm very conscious of what I don't have and what isn't going well in my life. And when I'm grateful for things that I already have, that already are. And when I already have something, it's not in that category of what I want, what I'm looking forward to, what I wish was different. I'm very conscious of the pain that I feel and the stuff that I want. So as much as we would say we're grateful people, we don't express our gratitude. And if you're the opposite of that, don't take this person. I'm generalizing. This is me maybe projecting. I don't know. We don't express our gratitude as much as we should, but we should. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. It's not our main text. I'm just going to read it quick, but you can find it and jot it down, memorize it. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We should give thanks. So today I just want to just rest on this word. I want to rest on the word of thanksgiving. I want us to think about giving thanks to God. I want to read some readings from the word that express what God has done and who he is, that express thankfulness to him. And then I want to follow those readings up with some times of prayer for us and intersperse it with us thinking about what am I thankful for in this area or that area or this other. And the readings that I want us to do today come from Psalms chapter 20, or one, not 20, 120. Psalms 120 and following. They're the Psalms of Ascent. There's a group of 15 psalms that were sung as the people of God would ascend into God's presence to worship him. Probably, very likely, when they would ascend up to Jerusalem every year, three times a year for the big religious festivals that they would have. And they would sing these to God as they would go up to him and to his presence. They're psalms of thanksgiving. So I want to read some of them, not all of them. I want to read some of them. And then I want to intersperse them with us praying together and thanking God. So let's start. We're grateful to God because we can come together and worship together. Look at Psalm 122. And as we read this, think about what it means to you to be able to do this again. You didn't do it for a long time, and now we're able to. Think about what that means to you. Psalm 122, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. Let us pray. God, we thank you. We thank you that we can meet together again, that we can come together and that we can praise you and that we can sing, that we can seek your face together. We know that we could do that. We've learned it. We knew it before, and now we've really learned we can do that on our own at home. We could do it with our families, but there is nothing like coming together and seeking your face and hearing our voices being raised in song to you. You are so good. And we thank you that we can do that, that we can hear your word taught, that we can remember the cross together. We thank you, God, for this incredible privilege. We've always said in the past, growing up, we've always said what a privilege it is. And we feel that now more than ever because it was taken away for a minute. We thank you, God, that we have it back. We're grateful. We're grateful because we have a good family. Think about, and I'm going to say amen at the end, at the very end. So I'm going to intersperse this with us talking and reading and praying together, and it's going to all be woven together. Think about how your life is different because you are part of God's family. Let's read Psalm 133 and think about that. Who are my brothers and sisters over the years who have touched my life and my heart and given to me and invested in me? Psalm 133, behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountain of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life evermore. Let's pray. God, we thank you that we can be part of your family. And we feel that maybe now more than ever because we've been separated from each other. And again, we take these things for granted, but now we feel it. As we see each other's faces, you've given us the ability to be in each other's presence. Even with distance, we can see each other. And we thank you, God, for that. Not just that we could see each other, but that we know that we are your sons and daughters, that in Christ we will spend eternity with you, that we are your forever family, that you have bestowed upon us this incredible blessing, being adopted into your family. There's people who love us. There's people who love us, when we see each other, we're reminded of that, that I'm loved now, not by just by you, but by your children. We thank you, God, for your family. And that leads us to, oh, we're thankful, not just for our brothers and sisters, we're thankful for our Father, the King of the universe. Think about why you are grateful, not just to be part of his family, but to be his child. Let's read Psalm 131 and think through that. Why am I grateful to be his child? What does that mean to me? Psalm 131, O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Dear God, we come to you and we recognize as we think about you and we lift you up in our hearts and our minds, we recognize how small we are. We are, we're dust. We're your creation. We're made in your image, but we are tiny compared to you. But you are sovereign. You are God. You are the King of the universe. And we thank you for that. We thank you for your power. We thank you that you do control everything, even though when everything seems to be out of control. We thank you, God. Thank you that you are our Father. You are not just the great King of the universe, but you are our Father in Christ. You were your children. And we can say, Daddy, to you. That is beautiful. It's humbling. We thank you for that. Look at Psalm 121. We're grateful because God takes care of us. Our Father, King of the universe, takes care of us and he protects us. Think about how God has protected you and taken care of you. Just meditate on that as we read this psalm. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. God, we know, maybe now more than we've known for a long time, but we feel how fragile and how weak we are. Our entire world and our country right now is so turbulent. We can't watch the news without seeing uprisings, and there's lawlessness, and there's fear for the future. And then personally, we've come face to face with the reality that we've always known, but you've showed it to us again that we could be taken from this life at any moment. We are so very fragile, and we trust in you. We depend on you. Thank you, God, for showing us our fragility and for making us cling to you. Thank you for your good, gracious work in us that draws us to hold on tighter to you as our world falls apart. God, help us. Thank you for letting us have you and knowing that you do keep us and watch over us. And we depend on you. And you let us depend on you. And we thank you. We thank you for that. Not only do we depend on him for his protection, we depend on him for our provision. We're thankful because God provides. So think about as we read Psalm 127, think about how God has provided for you. Now think about things. Think about actual, physical, tangible. How has God provided for you? 127, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go to late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is a man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies at the gate. God, when we experience scarcity of very basic products or the prospect of scarcity, thank you, God, that you've let us see that. You've let us feel what it's like to not know if there will be toilet paper or meat or vegetables. Thank you, God, for letting us feel that. And then thank you for so richly providing. Thank you for giving us not only everything we need, but so much more, so much that we desire that we don't need. Thank you for giving us an abundance. Thank you, God, that even in the midst of being faced with times of scarcity and unrest and unknowing and uncertainty and not knowing how production pipelines will live, that you have provided. You have put food on our tables. You've put shelter over us. You've put clothes on our backs. You've given us family. You've provided for us so very richly. You give and you give, and we thank you. You are a good, good Father. You are so generous to us, God. And we worry. We shouldn't. God's doubting you. And we anxiously scurry about. But now we sit back and we recognize that you are a provider. And we thank you, God, for that. We're grateful to God because he redeems us. He saves us. He restores us and he rescues us. Now, this isn't physical things. This is our soul. This is who we are on the inside, our relationship with him. Okay, we're going to read Psalm 130. This is a beautiful psalm. They all are. This one's beautiful. As we read, think about what and who and where you would be if he hadn't reached out his hand and rescued you and saved you. If you're a Christian, this is a moment for you to think of, remember when he saved you, and then think about what your life would be without that. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let my ears be attentive to the voice of my, let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning, more than the watchman for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and in him there is plentiful redemption. And he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. God, more than anything else we receive from you, you save us, you redeem us, you restore us, you adopt us into your family, you cover us with the perfection that is in Jesus. You remember our sins no more. As far as the east is from the west, you remove our iniquities from us. You make us pure and holy and blameless in your sight. You put your spirit inside of us and you make us become more and more and more like you. God, that is incredible. We thank you so much. We thank you that you would do that. We thank you that you would send your son and that he died on a cross, that he suffered immensely for us. We thank you, God, that you in him, you make us your children and beloved and perfect in your sight. You make us be born again. That is incredible. And we thank you. And that leads us to the last one. Go to Psalm 134. It's a psalm of worship. We're grateful to God, so we worship him. That's why we sing together. That's why we come together. That's why we remember the cross. It's to end in worship to God. Psalm 134, come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who made heaven and earth. God, together we worship you. We don't have to visit a temple. This place is not where you dwell. You dwell in us. Your Spirit now lives in us. We are your temple. That's a miracle. And we thank you and we praise you and we bless you and we worship you. We thank you that we can be your temple and that we can be that close to you, have that kind of intimacy and connectedness with you. And for that, we worship you. We thank you. We glorify you. You deserve all glory. May our worship and may our thanksgiving to you be worship and glory that you receive. In the name of Jesus, we pray together. Amen. So, the question becomes for us, what do we do? What do we take with us? What's the application from this? This was a doing something together, so what's the application? Well, listen, if you're not a Christian, seeing God, lifting up who he is and what he's done for us and as his family, remembering that we were just a short time together, not able to even come together, remembering that, looking at who God is and what he's done should open up a door in your heart to have another conversation with him. It should be a conversation with God about, well, it should start with you talking through with him. Why am I waiting? What's the barrier? What's the thing in my heart that makes me not draw near to God? And then ask him to pull on your heart irresistibly and make you to overcome the rebellion in you so that you can truly come to him and say, I've given myself to you. I repent. I want to be baptized. I want to give myself to you. That conversation ultimately ends with you making that decision. And when you do, when you're ready to do that, tell someone here, you can repent, be baptized. Now, for those of us who are Christians, what's our application? Shouldn't it be to live with this gratefulness and not just say, yeah, I feel grateful, I'm a grateful person, but to express our gratefulness more and more to God, to be people who wake up in the morning and say, thank you. And then before we go to bed, we say, thank you. And we don't just say generic thank yous, but to more and more express specific thanks. Thank you for that. Thank you for that interaction. Thank you for that person. Thank you for that thing that you made happen today at work. Thank you for the food. It so easily becomes the throwaway prayer. We got to thank you, God, for this day, for the food we're about to eat. Amen. Thank you for the food. This thing that I'm about to put in my mouth that is delicious or not, it doesn't matter. It will sustain me. You gave that to me. We should be people who thank God specifically throughout our days more and more. That's what we should do. That's our takeaway, I think. Let's thank God very specifically when we pray to him. Let's make ourselves, I try to do this and I forget and then I try again. And let's make ourselves, when we pray, give thanks for the first part of it. At least like make ourselves like at least half of our prayer be thankful for specific things and then go into the petitions and the things we're asking God to do. Let's be thankful. And now I think it's very, very appropriate that now we would take the Lord's Supper together, because as we've been thanking God for everything he's done, well, as we take bread, we remember Jesus on the cross, and we take the cup and we remember the blood that was shed. As we remember, we're supposed to remember, but that remembering is supposed to lead us into a moment of personal thankfulness where we talk to God, and as we pray together, as we take the bread and the cup, and we have a moment of personal quiet, and we thank him, and in our hearts we pray, and we say thank you, and we express our gratitude for what he's done in our lives. Why don't we start that with a prayer for the bread? And we'll take the Lord's Supper together. God, thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for him hung on the cross. Because of that, that is the only reason that we can be thanking you today, that we can be your children, that we could call you Father, that we can experience any of the blessings that you give us. It is only because of that, and it is all because of that. So we thank you for Jesus. God, we pray that through your Spirit, you would guide our hearts into a moment of gratefulness toward to you. In his name we pray. Amen.